chick. Sorry, Ryan.
That's okay. We'll go with this one. Good morning. Well, I'm excited as we continue to be in this series, Learning to Lead, and we're getting close to the end of it now. And last week, Craig talked about confession, and not just confessing on a personal level, but what it means to confess corporately as a group of people, as a church. And this week, though, Nehemiah realized that he couldn't just leave people in this state of confessing and feeling bad about themselves and what they had done and that they'd forgotten to follow God. But he realized that he needed to call them to something. He needed to call them something. He couldn't just leave them there. So this week, we're going to talk about what it means to commit to something. Now, I don't know what context you've had in your life, whether you've been part of a team at work or in sports or maybe music or some kind of capacity. You've probably been in a community of people that had a certain purpose or a mission or something like that. Well, on one occasion for me, I grew up playing soccer. I've played soccer my whole life. I still play soccer. I love to play soccer. And one year, our team decided, as a sign of unification that we were all in for the playoffs, that we would all dye our hair blonde. Because, you know, blonde soccer players clearly pay better than any other type of soccer player. I don't know the rationale for it. It didn't really make sense at the time, but it didn't matter to us because we decided, yes, we shall all be the all-blonde soccer team. And so we all committed and everyone dyed their hair blonde. As it turns out, being a blonde soccer player didn't necessarily mean that you played better because we didn't win. But nonetheless, we were all committed to the same thing. And there's something to be said about that. There's something powerful about when a group of people all commit to something. And there's something about committing to something in a group that makes that commitment more powerful. Had somebody just said, came up to me and said, you should just dye your hair blonde, I'd probably been like, why? That doesn't make any sense. But to do it together as a team, I was like, sure, I'm up for that. There's something powerful about committing something as a team, as a group, as a community. Now, there are a lot more important things to commit to in life than dyeing your hair blonde. And so this morning we're going to look at what exactly was Nehemiah calling them to commit to, the people of Israel. What was he calling them to commit to? And what might that look like for us now here in Prince George at Westwood Church? What might God be calling us to commit to this morning? So we're going to have a look at that. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 38. We're going to be spending our time actually in chapter 10, but this sets up the context of what chapter 10 is about. So we'll read verse 38 of chapter 9 first. So context, they've just all been confessing and repenting the things that they've done wrong and how they'd forgotten God and they weren't living by God's law anymore. So they've all just come out of that. And now Nehemiah is about to call them to something. So this is what happens. So Nehemiah is saying, in view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. So what Nehemiah is about to call them to, they believe is so important that they're going to choose to live by the word of God, by the law of God. They believe that that's so important that not only are they going to commit to it, but they're actually going to put it in writing. And they're going to take their seals, they would dip wax, and they would put their actual seal on it as a sign that this is official. We are all agreeing to this. This is a binding document that we all are going to live by. And then, at the start of chapter 10, we see that chapter 10 starts with this big list of priests and Levites and leaders of the people who were committed to live by a set of laws and values. It's a big list. It lasts 27 verses of all the different leaders who were on board with living by the law of God from the book of Moses. So they were all like, yeah, we agree to live by this law that Moses was given by God. We all agree to live by this set of laws and values. There's an important principle of leadership that can be learned here from Nehemiah, And it's simply this: great leaders get buy-in from other leaders under them. Now, Nehemiah could have just went to the people and said, hey, all of you should get on board with this. It's a great idea. But Nehemiah knew that if this was going to have longevity, if this commitment was to have any real impact, he needed, first of all, to get the leaders to be all in. He needed the leaders to buy in to living this out. Because if the leaders didn't model it, then how would everybody else want to live it out? So he gets the leaders on board. They all sign it. They all put their seals on it. And they say, yeah, we're going to do this. I want to tell you, in our own context here at Westwood Church, those of us who are in leadership here, we are all in to living out the mission, vision, and values of Westwood Church. We are all on the same page. We're not having one leader go this way and another leader go that way and someone else go over here. No. The lead team here, the elders, we're all on the same page. We all believe in the mission, vision, and values of Westwood Church. And we're going to get into a little bit later what that mission, vision, and values is all about. But I want to tell you that we are on the same page. We are ready to live that out in our lives. Now, the passage, though, continues in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. So now that the leaders are all on board, the passage says this: the rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, musicians, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who are able to understand, all of these now join their fellow Israelites, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all of the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord, our Lord. See, Nehemiah realized another thing. Great leaders inspire others to commit to the values of a community or an organization. Not only did he get all the leaders to buy in, the whole community is saying, yes, we give our oath that we are going to live by this set of values, this set of principles. We are going to live in this way. Great leaders get buy-in from the community or organization, from everyone, that they're going to live out the values of that organization. It doesn't matter if it's a business. It doesn't matter if it is a sports team. It doesn't matter what it is. If the leader is a good leader, he'll get buy-in to the vision and the mission and the direction that that community or organization is going in. He'll get buy-in from those that follow. Or she will get buy-in from those that follow. Great leaders inspire others to commit to the values of a community or organization. And that's exactly what happens here. Nehemiah gets everybody else to say, we're on board for living out this set of values. So, with that in mind, what does that mean today? What does that mean now here for being a part of Westwood Church? What does that look like? What set of values or principles or ideas or mission do we have here that we would call you to commit to being a part of? Well, our motivation here that we've said this, you've probably heard this said many times here at Westwood Church, we believe that God changes lives. Now, this sounds like a nice slogan. It does. But I want to tell you that this is more than just a fancy catchphrase or a slogan here at Westwood Church. We really, really believe this. And part of the reason why we really, really believe this is because we see it. We see it. If you were here around Easter time last year, you saw over the course of two Sundays, over 40 people be baptized, say that I choose to follow Jesus. Lives were changed. We see it through things like Celebrate Recovery. We see people that were once in addiction, that were stuck in addiction. We see now them having freedom in their lives, and we see them actually pouring into other people's lives and God using them to release others from addiction. God changes lives. I see it in youth ministry. I have a girl in my youth ministry, and I've seen her life change. When I first came here, she knows who she is, but I'll leave her nameless for this morning. And she, when I first came here, her main interest in life, her main principle, was that she was obsessed with a boy band. Obsessed. Like, whenever I would talk to her, that's all she would talk about. You know what? Now when I talk to her, do you know who she talks about? Jesus. Her life has been changed. Now she's all in for Jesus. She's now part of being giving leadership to other young people. Her life has been changed. And she's talking about how God might use her in her future. I think that's incredible. I've seen another girl in youth ministry. She was incredibly shy, would be terrified to speak in front of people. I've seen God call her, and I've seen her share her testimony a few times now, even though she's terrified of it, because she believes God has changed her life, and she wants to share it with other people. God changes lives. We see it. In fact, one of the things that we regularly do in our staff meetings, when we have a staff meeting, is we have a time set aside where we don't talk about strategies or programs or things that we're going to do in the church. That time is set aside simply for sharing stories of how God is at work in the church. That's it. That's what that section of the staff meeting is about. Because we really believe that God changes lives. So if we really believe that, there should be evidence. We should be able to tell stories. And so we spend several minutes just hearing stories of all the different ways God is at work through the ministries of the church. This isn't just a catchphrase. We truly believe this, and this is truly our motivation. Now, the second thing that comes out of that then is our vision then is bringing Jesus into life. What does that mean? Well, that means that we want Jesus to be a part of not only our lives, but the lives of others around us. And so we want to bring Jesus into situations where Jesus people may not have noticed he was active. He was active, but people may not have noticed. People may not have realized that he was at work in their life. And so we want to live out Jesus in such a way, we want to live out his love for other people, that people would be drawn to Jesus and who he is. How do we do that? Well, we do that by living out our mission, which is the greatest commandment and the great commission. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit. And Jesus says also, along with that, is to love others the way that you would want to be loved and treated. So, we believe that as we love God with all our heart, as we pursue Jesus, as we become more passionate about him in our lives, and as we show that love and passion we have for Jesus to others, by the way that we treat them, we believe lives will be changed. We also believe that part of this is the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples, teaching people what it means to follow Jesus and leading people who don't follow Jesus to make that decision to choose to follow Jesus. We believe that as we all actively live this out, that we will see lives changed. Now, we've kind of, as a church then, decided on four things that we believe that if we invest in these four things, we will see these things happen more and more. We will see lives changed, and we'll see people live out the greatest commandment and the greatest commission. Now, the four ways that we've strategized to do this are simply this. First of all, showing commitment to what we call gather, which means we as a church are committed to meet together like we are right now, to worship God together, to praise God together, to hear from God's word and to learn together so that we can be a community with one another. And so we believe that part of God changing lives is us being committed as a group to meet together regularly. And so I would encourage you as part of what I'm going to call you to commit to, that you would commit to making being a part of gathering here a part of who you are, a part of your DNA. Because as a believer, meeting together shouldn't be something that you compartmentalize and you're like, well, in my schedule I have this and this and this, so meeting together with other believers doesn't really fit. Maybe another week when I have more time. It's not that coming here on a Sunday morning is some magic cure-all that will inject life into your faith. We hope and pray that it does that. But there's something about being committed to a body, as Scripture says, that's so vital, that's so important to our health as believers and to the health as a church as believers. And that means we need to be committed to meet with one another. The second thing is groups. We really believe that as we get into smaller group settings together, we call them life groups here, And as we share life together, as we're able to be more intimate about the details of our life, as we're able to share food together, as we're able to be in each other's homes, as we're able to provide for each other as each other's have needs, as we're able to pray together and study God's word together in a smaller setting, that in those settings, that we would really grow in our ability to love God and to love others. And we would see life change happen in those groups. And so we believe that those groups are vital to the health of the church. We also believe in go, which means that we don't just continue to just navel gaze and look at ourselves and be like, wow, this is so good. We're investing in ourselves by doing these things. But we actually believe that we then need to go out from here. Yes, we can serving here on a Sunday morning is important. We encourage you guys to serve in all our various things that we do here on Sunday and throughout the week. But also, we are called to go out. God has gifted you with abilities. God has put certain people in your lives. And we believe that as we serve others, as we use our spiritual gifts, that God is going to impact people in Prince George. God is going to impact people in our province, in our country, and even our world as we go on, as some of us will be called to even go overseas, we believe. So as we invest in serving others and showing the love of Christ outside of just the context of this church, we believe that's going to change people's lives as well. And finally, the fourth one piece that we believe in here strongly is congregational life, which means as we gather together, as we pray together, as we've called you to do, come on Sunday morning, 7:30, as Mark mentioned, and we pray together, 7:30 to 8, every Sunday morning, we pray together. As we pray together, as we care for one another, as we have need, as we grieve with one another, as we celebrate with one another, and as we connect with one another and form new relationships by connecting with people we might not otherwise connect with if it wasn't for the church, we believe that through that, God will also change lives as we pray together, as we connect together, as we care for one another. Now, Nehemiah was actually such an incredible leader that not only did the people commit to living by a certain set of values, the people were all in. The people were committed to giving the resources they had to be a community of faith together. Listen to some of the things as from some of the quotes that come out of verses 32 to 39. We assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands to give. We also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord. We will not neglect the house of our God. See, great leaders also inspire others to make available the resources needed to achieve the mission, vision, and values of that community. Not only were the people inspired to commit to following a certain set of values, a certain set of principles, certain set of laws, they were committed to give their resources to it. Because they believed, if you believe in something that much, you are willing to commit what you have been given. So that means that if we are committed to the life of the church, we are committed to seeing God change lives through the church, that we will be willing to give of our time. We will be willing to give of our money. We will be willing to give of the gifts and abilities God has given us. We'll be willing to use our spiritual gifts to serve. We'll be willing to use the ideas that God gives us. We'll be willing to use whatever God has gifted us with, whatever God has blessed us with, whatever God has given us. We'll see those not just of things to for ourselves and our own enjoyment, but things to further the mission of the church. If we really believe that God wants to use the local church to change people's lives, then that will show up by how we use what God has given us. Now, this isn't some plea because we're running short on money. This is a generous church. You've always been so generous and we've always met our budget. It's not about that. It's about imagine what God can do if we're all on board and willing to give of what we have, whatever that is, whatever that looks like. Like I said, time, money, spiritual gifts, whatever that is, ideas, whatever God has given you, whatever abilities he's given you, whatever things he's blessed you with, are you willing to give those to build the church, to see people's lives changed? Are you all in for that? Because if you're all into it, you'll be willing to give of yourself and of what you have. So, what next? What does this mean? Well, I have two questions I want you to leave you with, to think through. One is simply this. Will you commit to the mission, vision, and values of Westwood Church? Will you commit to those? One of the things here at Westwood Church, you saw in the passage that they all put pen to paper and were willing to sign off that they were committed to doing that. Really, you saw in the announcements that coming up on April 3rd is Explore Membership and Explore Baptism. Do you know what membership is? Membership is basically signing a covenant saying that you will live out the mission, vision, and values of the church. That's what it is. Sometimes we think that it's more about the political side of it and gaining a chance to vote at meetings. Sure, that's a side thing that you do get to do if you become a member. But that's not the focus. That's not what it's really about. It's really about saying, and you actually do sign to do this, to live out the mission, vision, and values of the church. That's what membership really is. Baptism is really you committing to following Jesus. To say, I will follow Jesus with my life. That's what it is. It's a commitment. It's a saying, I'm all in. So one of the ways that maybe you should think through is, am I willing to be baptized if you've given your life to Christ and you're not baptized? Am I willing to take that step of commitment? Am I willing to take that step of commitment and put pen to paper and say, I'm willing to be a member of the church? Now, do you have to be, quote unquote, a member of the church to live out the mission, vision, and values of the church? No, but my question is, if you're willing to do it, why wouldn't you? Like, it just seems like that would be a logical next step. So I want to encourage you. Will you commit to live out the mission, vision, and values of the church? If you believe God changes lives, if you believe it's important to bring Jesus into life and to live out the greatest commandment and the great commission, then will you accept the challenge to commit to that? To step up. The second is this. What resources can you contribute to the mission of Westwood Church? What has God specifically given you that you can give that can further the mission of seeing lives changed by Jesus? What do you have to offer? What do you have to give? I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you're blessed with. Maybe you have brilliant ideas. Maybe you have lots of time to give. Maybe you have certain gifts and abilities. Not maybe, you do have certain gifts and abilities. Are you willing to give those? Maybe God has blessed you financially. How can you give of that and make those resources available for the church to further the mission of Jesus? What resources can you contribute to the mission of Westwood Church? And finally, I know that there could be people here this morning, there likely is, who don't know Jesus. I want to encourage you that I really do believe he can change your life this morning. And so I want to encourage you this morning, would you give your life to Jesus? Would you allow him to start doing that life change in you? Because like I said this morning, I believe that Jesus can change lives, which means I believe he can change your life. That he can do a work in your life. If you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you, after the service, to come talk to me. I'd love to introduce you and show you how you can have a relationship with Jesus that will totally change your life. So, as the worship team comes here in a minute, I just want to pray for you guys that God would empower you and God would show you how you can commit to the mission, vision, and values of the church and how you can contribute to it, because I believe we all have a role to play. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for who you are, and I thank you that you are a God that changes lives, that you are mighty and powerful, and that you want to change our lives and give us true life and give us freedom, God. And God, I just pray that you would show each one of us who doesn't know you, I pray that you would draw us to you and that we would choose to accept you and to have our lives changed by you. And I pray for those of us who have accepted you and are trying to follow you, Jesus, I pray you would show us how we can commit to you even more, God, and commit to your church that you use to change lives. Show us how to do that. Show us what resources you want us to make available and what resources you want us to use that would make the church, your church, more effective, Jesus. So I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.